What's going on, guys? Hopefully the video and everything is going well. If it is, please let me know and tell me it's working and all that good stuff. Hopefully we're not being super laggy. But yeah, how's it going? I'm going to see if all this new technology works. Because look, I could switch to my new screen. Nope, it doesn't work. Son of a bitch. Let's see. Maybe now. Let's see. News. No. No. Still not. News. I don't know. Technology, man. It's a pain in the butt. Whatever. What can you do? How are you guys doing? Let me just close this thing here. Well, if you've never watched my show before, my name is Steve. I am your favorite freight broker. This is Freight Broker Live. I have to manually do this intro because it's not working, so bear with me. All right. Well, with that said, so today I'm going to talk about some things that I don't normally Yeah, I mean, I'm going to talk about all the same shit that I normally talk about, but I'm going to talk about myself because Loessa just asked a question. Let's see, it's still not working. Don't know why it's not letting us work. Let me delete this thing. But at any rate, I was trying to make it fancy and see if this thing would work and transition back and forth, but it doesn't seem like it's going to, so whatever. my name is Steve. I got started in the freight industry, Loessa, 15 minutes ago. 15 years ago. I was reading someone else's comment. I've been in the industry for 15 years as a carrier, as a broker, as a shipper, as a fleet owner, as pretty much everything. I've been working in the industry for a long time. And I love it. I couldn't imagine doing anything else. but yeah, so Lindsay asked a question. I'll get some questions answered real quick and then we'll go from there. Lindsay asked, when will we know if we made the 50? Pretty much everyone made the class. There's a couple of people that I know already and that you won't be in it. But unless you know me personally, then you're good. I had 57 sign up. I'm sure we're going to have some people that aren't going to go. So, or that aren't going to continue, because that's what always happens. So, you'll find out on the 22nd is a long answer to your question. On the 22nd, Sunday night, I'll be sending everything out. Well, Loessa asked about how I got in it. I've been in it for a long time. I kind of stumbled into it on accident. I was a freight agent. I was hired. Long story. I started off as a trucking company, as an illegal trucker. I didn't really know any better. This is, 15 years ago. I was in college. I needed to find a job and make money during the summer, and I didn't want to go do construction or anything. So I bought a truck and just used U-Ship when it was still good way back then and started moving freight that way. I ended up getting a couple of customers. I'm a sales guy, so I was able to get customers relatively quickly. And I built up a little LTL business out of the Northeast, right before senior year was supposed to start. I ended up selling the company and did pretty well for myself and, kind of just gave up on trucking for a while. I met my wife, years later, and the whole time we were trucking, I was doing trucking and I wasn't, and I was, and I wasn't, I was in and out of it, but all just like hauling stuff on the side. I ended up going to work for a moving company. When winter hit, he was going to lay off everybody because that's what they did. I rented his truck and I started a trucking company that way. And then it's been all over. We had overflow freight because, like I said, I'm a sales guy. So it's super easy for me to go get accounts. So we had freight that I would accept everything. So even though we had our own trucks, there was some freight that clearly we couldn't handle on our trucks. So I ended up filing for a freight forwarding number because it was cheaper at that time than getting a brokerage authority. This is before MAP 21 and all that stuff. And it was a lot easier and I was able to move freight. I ended up getting picked up by UTI and opening an office for them in New York. And then it's all been downhill from there. I've owned a bunch of different companies in the industry, some successful, some not successful. I'm pretty upfront and honest with that. I've been successful in the industry, but I've also lost my ass quite a few times. And I think that that's what makes me uniquely qualified to do these videos. And if not, it doesn't matter. I don't get paid for them. I do them because I like to. And that's why I make these videos. If you've never watched it before, I pretty much started creating these videos just as a peace of mind for myself to get through the day. It's pretty monotonous sitting, staring at a computer. That all that stuff behind me is my actual desk. It's just a photograph of it. But I'm booking freight every day, all day. And I love it. And it's a good industry to go into if you don't know anything about it. Do some research. And it's good on the trucking side and on the broker side. You know, a lot of carriers have problems with truckers, and a lot of truckers have problems with carriers. And it kind of goes hand in hand. You just really need to want to learn the business, whether or not you're driving a truck or whether or not you're brokering freight back and forth. So before I answer too many more questions, I'm kind of going to stay on the focus of what I was looking to talk about today, because I'm not limited in time. I just want to get through the stuff I wanted to talk about. And like I said, if you've never followed my page, make sure you like Freight Broker Live at Facebook. Go to the website. The website's geared more towards like news and things like that. So I have a lot of news content, articles and stuff like that on there. If you like this and you want to support it so I can one day not be a freight broker and just focus on the videos, there's links down below. If you're watching this on YouTube later, subscribe, all that stuff, pound that like button, whatever the YouTube kids say. Let me see if this is still not working. Ah, would have been nice. I had all these special buttons programmed, but then I couldn't connect. So I had to turn everything off and it didn't work. So I'm going to jump into my fancy new news studio here, which I think is funny and I like it. But so I'm going to talk about a couple of things. The first thing I'm actually going to talk about is oil. I was actually going to write an article for my paper this morning, or for my website this morning, about how everyone was freaking out about oil and the oil prices were going to go up and truckers are going to get, like, the fuel prices for diesel are going to raise 60 cents, you know, per gallon and all that stuff. And originally this morning, I didn't think about it because I did so much research on like oil and where we get our oil now. And only 92% of it is made in the United States. So we're pulling in, you know, or North America rather, the other 9% are pulled in from overseas. And Saudi Arabia equates to about 2.4% of that. So, and because I'm not a big economics guy, I was trying to figure out, you know, if the fuel price was going to go up, is, Dalton. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why the voice isn't coming through. Cause I have a system that goes, it could be the microphone. I don't know. And then the video, it is what it is. If you guys want me to make better videos, you got to subscribe. You got to like the buttons and all that stuff so I could start getting paid to make this. Cause I'm not going to spend my money on more stuff because ultimately you could see me and all that stuff. If you want to buy me a new microphone, go ahead and you can follow the links down below and donate and all that stuff so I could do this full time. And then I could make all that extra stuff up. But for right now, I think this suffices for what I'm trying to do. Plus, I'm looking on the other computer. It looks like it's all right. Yeah, I think it is too, because I see it on my other computer. It looks okay. You may just have bad computer connectivity, Dalton. But at any rate, so I was trying to figure out like how to write an article. And as you can see, I didn't write any articles today on my site. So I couldn't figure it out because it looked like, you know, the price of the barrel, you know, the crude oil price went up 11%, which is pretty substantial for an oil price. And so it'll be about, you know, 10 to 12 days before it trickles down here and we actually start seeing prices come up. I don't think we're going to see a 60 cent, right now with the current state of everything right now, I don't see that we're going to have a 60 cent increase per gallon for diesel fuel or even gas or anything like that. But give it a little bit of time, because if we do go to war or we bomb and then there's a, you know, we have issues with that, which is what the media is trying to say now, who knows what the price will be. I just think it's funny because the media does such a good job of portraying everything as just like, oh my God, the world's ending and fuel price is going to skyrocket and you guys need to stockpile and all this. And there's a lot of, when I was reading all the comments on Facebook earlier, there's a lot of level-headed people out there that are like, no, it doesn't actually work that way. And you know, I think a lot of the country thinks because Saudi Arabia supplies, you know, 50% or 5% of the world's oil, that's not 5% of the United States oil. They only supply about 2.4%, and which is crazy because we resell oil anyway. So we're like, it works out to be like 0.2% of oil consumption is what we're actually taking in because we sell oil out. I don't know. It's all funky stuff, but that's my take on the oil industry. I don't really care that much about it. Clearly I wanted to write an article just cause I saw so many people were freaking out. But then I decided, you know, I'm not going to join that bandwagon of trying to freak people out or not freaking people out about oil. It doesn't benefit me at all to do it. And I don't think it benefits my viewers, you know, you guys, cause you're all my viewers. And then the hot topic on how much a freight broker makes. I am going to cut this video and I'm going to play my intro again in a second because I'm going to, well, actually, no, I won't. I'll just edit it later. So on YouTube, if you Google how much a freight broker makes on YouTube, you're not going to find an answer. The number one video, the guy goes, well, you want to know how much a freight broker makes? A freight broker makes exactly what he gets when he puts into something. And he goes on a 4-minute video, not even saying how much a freight broker makes. So I can tell you now, I'm a freight agent. Here's the difference between a broker and an agent. An agent works for a broker. Now, there's two reasons why they do it. The main reason, one, it doesn't have a lot of cash outlay to be an agent. You know, I started my agency with nothing. The other benefit of being an agent is normally you're tied to a much larger company. So you have a lot more buying power. You have a lot more credibility in the industry, depending on what company. If you partner with a shitty company, then you're not going to get anywhere. You know, like if a brand new brokerage is hiring brand new agents, guess what? You guys are all screwed because a brand new broker isn't going to be able to find any freight and the brand new carrier isn't going to be able, or the brand new broker agent isn't going to make any money. So however you say that, a freight agent gives up a percentage. So for my affiliation with the company I'm an agent for, I give up a percentage of my revenue, which I'm fine with. I paid higher percentages and I've certainly paid lower percentages. I've just chose to work with this company. I'm in the 50 to 80 range there. That way you know what I'm making. But, and that's percentage of the profit that I keep. So I'm being very general because they watch these videos too, and I don't know if they want me broadcasting contract rates out. But the benefits way outweighed the negatives of not going out and starting my own brokerage again. Because I'm just tied into another company. I have buying power because I can go up to a company and they'll say, listen, can you handle this many loads? And if I can't handle that many loads by myself, then I can go to the corporate office and say, hey, listen, this is the candidate for managed services or something like that and better it off. To answer the blunt question of how much a freight broker makes, it's exactly what you think it is. You make as much money as you work, and I understand that concept. So for me, I have some good clients. So not everybody gets great clients all the time. I have some good clients. So I make, you know, I make at least $200 a day in take home commission. I mean, today was substantially higher. You know, it all depends. I make over six figures a year as a freight agent. As a broker, here's the thing for you guys to think about. As a broker, when I had my own brokerage, I did not make this much money. The reason I make this much money now is because I have such a big resource behind me. It allowed me to book more freight, essentially. Carriers are more apt to work with me because we've been around for 20 plus years. We have perfect credit and all that. When you're a new broker, you have so many different limitations on what you can do because some carriers won't work with you because they can't get you set up with factoring. Other carriers won't work with you just flat out because you're too new. The same reason carriers can't work with brokers because they're too new of a carrier. The same thing happens to new brokers. So that's something you really have to work. Now, there's a lot of differences and a lot of things you can do to kind of circumvent that. If you're going out on your own and being a broker on your own, filing your own numbers and all that, you could set up with a factoring company. Granted, you got to build in the profit margin a little bit more, or just get a really good factoring company that's going to work with you and set up a system that works really well for you in terms of your payables and paying your carriers and all that stuff. Because the biggest thing for you guys being a broker is you have to assure to the carrier that they are going to get paid. And unfortunately, that happens. You know, brokers start out with good intentions and then, you know, excuse the term, fuck up. You know, I know Sandy hates it when I swear, but you really have to monitor your finances when you're out. You have to do it anyway, but you really have to keep a close eye on it when you're a broker instead of an agent. So you can easily make six figures, or you can make nothing. It all depends on how hard you work, what kind of clients you get, because you're not going to go out day one and make a crap ton of money. It's just not going to happen. Day 30, you should be making money. And I've trained people that are good. I've trained people that are bad. I've worked with people that are just natural salespeople, but they can't move freight at all. They just can't do it. They don't get it, but they can go and get a customer. But when it comes to actually finding freight for that or finding carriers for that freight, they just can't do it. They bomb. So you have to have like a good rapport with the carriers, but also a really good rapport with a customer in order to get that business. I'm kind of unique in the way I do it. It's really light. It's getting light and stuff, but I'm kind of unique in the way I move freight because I don't really care that much about whether the customer is super happy. I take that back. I don't really care that much about making a bunch of money because I know I'm going to do it. If I, based on experience, I know I'm going to make a lot of money based on my book of business, how many accounts I have, what my projections are for all that stuff. I'm very direct. As I'm directing these videos and I curse and stuff, I do the same thing with my customers. I try to move freight. I do a good job moving it. If it doesn't work, I'm not like going, oh crap, I'm not going to make money. And I don't go after, bad customers and cheap freight. You know what I mean? I don't even know where I'm going with this. I don't work with like really bad customers, customers that are notoriously cheap, have bad credit ratings and freight that's not going to move. If they're giving me a bunch of loads, but all the loads are priced too cheap and I'm not going to be able to get a carrier to take it, especially if I pad it with a margin, there's no reason for me even to work with that that customer. And so I'm very quick to drop them. Just as when I was dispatching, I was very quick to drop carriers if I wasn't going to make money off them or they were too picky or all that stuff. So it's kind of, you really have to play with your numbers and see what's going to work best for you when you're dispatching a truck or when you're booking freight and all that stuff. But yeah, that's my quick spiel on how much a freight broker can make. A freight broker can make a crap ton of money. I've met brokers that have set up a system where they're pretty much everything, I don't have that ability here, but they have a tech system where they're able just to push in numbers and push out numbers and just make loads without actually doing anything. They don't have to find carriers because the majority of the business is LTL. So it's all done through EDI. They maybe are working 10 hours a week, just doing updates and rebuilds and stuff like that. They literally live on a beach and work from a Chromebook on the beach every single day. And they make way more money than I do. It's just because they landed, these whales or the unicorn accounts or whatever you guys call them. And they were able to handle some really good big accounts and just set them up. Now it all depends on the systems and what capabilities you have as an agent or as a broker or as anything in order to be able to get that type of business. But I like being able to book freight. As much as I say I don't like it all the time, I like talking to carriers and booking freight. Like today, for example, I booked 6 loads, which is slow normally. But as I said in other videos, I, for some reason, when I put my mind to it, I end up booking a lot of freight. So I usually work on lower margins. Today, I held very firm on my rates because I also know I've got a crap ton of stuff coming up. I got to pay for a hotel for when I compete in the North American Championship. Powerlifting, if you never watch my videos, I'm a powerlifter, hence being ginormous. But I'm competing in the North American Championships in Clearwater in 2 weeks. And then I've got the World Powerlifting Championships in Ireland next month. So I just got a bunch of money that I got to put out. And so I came in, like I was talking about it with my wife, and I'm like, crap, I really got to focus and got to make money. And so where I usually said, okay, I'm good if I make $200 a day. Granted, I, like I said in the other videos, I keep working. I don't just make $200 a day and then stop working for the day. That's not how I do it. I work from, 8:30 essentially until 3:30 when I go to the gym. And then from like 6:30 when I get back after I eat dinner until about 8:30 at night, every single day. And then usually I'm still working because I'm doing sales after that. But that's like my schedule. You know, that's my wife knows it. That's when I'm working all the time. And I used to not be that way. I used to be like that kind of guy that would just sit, make $200 profit on for the day and be like, yo, I'm done. I'm going to go hang out at the gym. I'm going to go shop at the mall or whatever, because that still equates to $1,000 a week working 5 days a week. And I'm super happy about it. But then the problem is when you don't make money, it affects you and you stop making money and it, you know, it isn't good. So, right now, you know, I woke up this morning or yesterday and talking to my wife, and I'm like, I need to do better. I need to make more money because we got a crap ton of stuff. I'm going to turn down this brightness just a little bit because it's annoying me. But I need to make money to make sure I can afford all this stuff in the future that we have, because they're big bills. And so I came in with a renowned focus. I started this morning super hard and started hitting up all my sales leads and all that stuff and quoting shipments. And I booked two of the shipments off my quote list, and then my customer sent in stuff, and I just held firm with the rates. And not the rates to the customer, because like I said, I take my customer's rates and post them right out to the carrier, and then usually I put a margin on. So I didn't, you know, try to take more money from the carrier, because there's not a lot anyway. So the carriers that are booking those loads actually need them. They need all the revenue they can, because it's cheap freight technically. But I inflated the rate a little bit more to my customer because I know I need to make money. So today I'm in like the $500 range for a take home commission. And if I do that every single day, it's fine. And again, that's just the morning. I know when I end this video, I'll make two or three more loads, but again, it's expensive. You know, I use free trials and all this stuff for the software and the website and all that. And as you guys know, by my previous website, it sucked. So I had to build up a new site that works better. And I believe my new site, if you guys like it, if you checked it out, the new freightbrokerlive.com site is way faster. It's much more receptive to everything. You guys should check out the partnership tab, because I also have OTR on there. They're my preferred factoring company for the month. So if you're a broker, a carrier, and you're looking for a new factoring company, I've got a direct line to the VP of sales there, super good guy, and he'll give you the best rate you could get. Plus, you get a special rate on non-recourse just because you know this guy. And I've worked with them for a long time, so they're a really good company. I've got the Ring Central link up there, although I don't know if I activated it yet. But I think two or three of you guys actually signed up for Ring Central already, which is cool. And I saw one person bought a phone system from Amazon, which is pretty rad too. Because again, like I said, I get referral fees and all that stuff for it. So it just helps pay the bills and keeps everything good. Yeah, so that's about all the content that I have for today. So what do you guys want to talk about? Open to anything. If you've never watched my videos, this is the point where you ask me a bunch of questions and I answer them the best I can, or we start a general dialogue. I guess I'll talk about Uber, because, you know, and I don't know if Uber will ever watch these videos or the big guys up from Uber will. They should. I think they, you know, I've talked to a couple of the sales reps and stuff at Uber, and I think they have great ideas. I haven't seen the carrier side too much. I know that the carriers that I worked with that work with Uber or pull Uber, same with Amazon, they're happy with those rates. Now, a lot of people that are used to spot market get on those boards and they're like, well, they're cheap. They're not great loads. But the guys that are used to that freight, they're happy with that freight, and it's not really affecting everybody. My question to Uber, if anyone from Uber is watching this video on replay or anything like that later, my question to you guys is, how come you haven't integrated some sort of ELD into your whole system and just offered it for free? Because you would get a huge amount of people, I think, that would utilize an ELD that's free and then would be able to have the availability to book freight. You would see them. It's the same thing Keep Trucking's doing, except they don't have the technology, so they're building out their marketplace now because they have all the ELDs. I was wondering that this weekend, is why that hasn't been a thought. Or even a system like Trucking Office, or what's the other one that Craig always references on his website? Like, why isn't like Uber or one of those big companies coming in to absorb, you know, a system that's already in place that they could quickly just run off of, especially when they're already bleeding money. It doesn't, I don't understand it. I'm not a technical guy in that aspect, so I don't know how hard that integration would be. But I think if you did that, you would instantly build capacity, and that's what they need to go after, you know, better shippers, I guess. But that's off the topic ramble, but that's why I do this. I said, what TMS do you use to post to Truck Stop and Dat? We use a proprietary system called Edge. I don't even know much about it, except that's what we use. I've used pretty much all of them in the past. So I've used, Ascend is, if you guys are just getting started, and especially if you have a carrier side too, you probably should just use Ascend to start with and to grow with. It's a good service. It's like $50 a user if you use their paid version. If you're familiar with MacroPoint and all that stuff, Ascend has a free version with 200 credits or something like that. So you could text the drivers and it will geotag their location. They have EDI for a dollar. Their system is so, it's so advanced, and it's so cheap. You know, that's the service that I would recommend anybody use, is Ascend for a TMS. Now there's other ones like Truck Stop. That's what I use as a broker. Ascend also has agencies. So if you're looking to add agents, you could do that as well. Truck Stop was good. And it did everything I wanted it to. I don't remember why I switched from Ascend to Truck Stop. I think because, you know, Ascend integrates with Dat fine. If you want it to integrate with Truck Stop to be able to post loads and freight and all that stuff, you would have to pay Truck Stop a $250 integration fee. They don't do it for free like Dat does. It also, you could search for loads within Ascend, which is pretty neat. There's a little like backdoor. So, you know, if you have multiple agents, you can only have one login at a time with the same login, otherwise it'll kick you out. There's a backdoor on Ascend where you can do it and you can search for loads that way. I've never actively searched for loads through Ascend, so I don't know how well it is and what kind of freight you're getting or how old it is, but that's Ascend is it's kind of a no-brainer because it's free to start with. So it doesn't make any sense why anyone would pay for a software when you have a software that's free that does pretty much everything you could possibly need a software to do that starts off free. And then you could add a couple of features and stuff for $50 a user after that, which is still dramatically cheaper than most softwares. Most softwares, they're like $200 a month plus $50 each additional user or something stupid like that. So it's cheaper, and you could post out to Dat. You could pull in trucks, you could post trucks, you could post loads, you could do all that. It does fuel charge calculators, driver pay. It literally does everything. IFTA does all that stuff in it. Let's see here. Ben said, do most brokerages require you to already have a customer base when becoming an agent for them? Yeah, all of them do. And the ones that don't, you're going to get a really crappy margin. You're just not going to get a good margin for it. Hold on, guys. I got to drink water. I'm also on day one of my massive water cut. So if the rest of the videos for the entire week, you'll see me drink a lot of water because I got to drink 2 gallons a day. But yeah, you need to have a book of business. And the way you get a book of business is by actively doing it. It's hard because, and that's why I said, if you're taking the training course that I'm doing for free, you have to really just set up your company while you're going through the course. So that way, when we get to the cold call portion, you're actually able to do it. Because if you're not able to do sales, you're not going to really get the full grasp of what you need to do. And that's why I say, you know, it doesn't cost you anything for the course. You might as well save $300 now so you can at least start the numbers, start your filing for your numbers. Ben, so if that answers you, you're not going to be able to actively go out and get a customer base until you get your numbers. You have to be able to, because you can't call and say, hey, listen, I want your business and I haven't started my company yet, but when I do, I would love to be able to call you and get some work immediately from day one. They're going to be like, okay, bud. Yeah, sure. Call me when you get your authority. So that's why I'm saying you have to, that the very first step you have to do is either if you can find someone that will let you become an agent with no experience, or two, shit, you could bullshit your way through some of them. You know, I know people that have no experience that were just like a carrier sales rep, and that went out and became agents for other people just because they had gumption, if that's the right word for it. They were able to sell the recruiter that they talked to that they had a book of business. Hell, when I signed up with this company, I had one potential customer. And I said, I haven't shipped with them in 2 years, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to do them. I was moving freight back and forth, and I had proof that I was moving freight through my brokerage and through the other systems that I had in place. But I didn't have an active book. I built that back when I came here. Because like I said, I've worked with this customer for a really long time, but I stopped working with them for a year and a half while I was out of a different field, I guess, so to say. All right, let's see. Oh, I skipped one. What does the email say that you send out to potential? It's basically like, for example, I sent out a couple this morning, and I was thinking about it when I was sending them because they're very basic. So I say, hey, listen, you know, we used to work because the sales leads I'm working off of are in our TMS system. They're customers that used to be active that went inactive for whatever reason. I could see some notes, but they're always very vague. It's the same reason when I'm dealing with a customer, I don't put notes in the system. Because if I lose that customer, I don't want to give another agent the head up or I don't want them to be able to steal my customer. So I don't actively write a lot of notes. And I think that the other agents were doing the same thing. Again, I'm trying to change the color. It keeps changing on me and it's annoying me a little bit. But my email this morning basically said, hey, listen, I saw you used to work with us. I don't know why you stopped working with us. I'd love to get the chance to earn your business. And then I target people that are close. So I'm like, listen, I'm in Florida. Is it a good time to talk? I'll travel down to meet you. I'll do whatever. And like I said, my emails, I don't know if it's just the brashness or the lack of caring that I pass on through the email, but it's been successful. Like, for example, I send an email to someone I knew they needed something to quote because it's one of my sales leads that we're not going to talk about in the class because I don't want you guys stealing my customers. So I'll tell you how I found these. But, you know, I found a way to get people that are actively seeking quotes, and I have the back door in the system, so I'm able to pull those quotes down. And I message them, and I'm like, listen, I see that you're looking for a quote for this. I'll do it for this much, which is higher than the quote. But I'm like, listen, I can get it picked up right away. You just got to let me know when you're ready. She called me and she's like, blah, blah, blah. And then I kind of sold it on the phone. I'm like, listen, I'm good at what I do. You got to either trust me or not trust me. I know you don't know me, but I'm good at booking freight and I can book this freight. You know, she's like, well, we haven't had any luck yet. And I said, well, you haven't, you just contacted me. So, and I think sometimes that, yeah, I mean, I got the load and I got it covered and picked up already. And I booked that load this morning. So I think a lot of the times you have to be confident. And that's a hard part about being a salesperson is confidence, especially if you lack confidence as it is, which a lot of people do. Mike, I think we already did I think you've sent me a couple of messages about this. Like I said, in pretty much all the other videos, I believe the best segment for anybody to become a freight broker and work in is the industry of something that you know. So you have to know that, Ben, the course is closed. We're not taking anybody else till probably after the new year. You'll see it. Just keep, you know, liking my website and all that stuff. You'll see notices. They go quick because they're free. So, but anyway, you have to find something you like in or that you like and that you understand and that you know like the back of your hand. And then work that aspect. So like me, you would think, hey, I know gym equipment. I've actually tried to go after the gym equipment market. It's just LTL. It's not anything that I want to mess with. Next thing I know is construction and trades and heavy equipment. My father was a contractor and a truck driver. So I know that industry a little bit. He always said, you know, if I want to have a career in logistics, drive a truck hauling food is what my dad always said to me. I can't drive a truck anymore. You know, my wife and kids and all that won't permit me to drive on the road. So I'm like, okay, with that in my head, I'm going to go out and try to get sales account or try to land accounts that aren't going to go out. So I was looking at food accounts and then we found a target of like olive oil. So I started focusing on olive oil accounts and it's a lot of trade magazines and everything. And then you find them. And then once you find them and you nurture them, and this goes to your second question, you just keep on them. Now, I don't say like call them every single day. And I have a 3-strike rule. So I my initial contact, then if I can get you on the phone and try to talk to you more. And then if I send another email, if I send two emails and I don't get any replies, I knock you off my list and I'm never calling you again. If I call for some reason, the only time I actually call if there's a hot load or something like that, or I know I've already got a truck or something, that would dictate me calling. Because normally I won't call a customer, I'll just email. And I have, like I said, a 3-strike rule. I'll send them an intro email. If I don't get anything, I'll send them a follow-up email. If I don't get anything again, I send them another follow-up email, usually within the course of a week. So say Monday, first email, Wednesday, second email, Friday, last email. And the last email just simply says, hey, if you ever need anything, or I'm assuming you're happy with your current shipping situation, please just keep my information. Let me know if there's anything I can help you with. Because I've converted those accounts too, where I didn't hear from them for a year or two, and then they contact me. I still, that's why my phone number is always the same. I still have customers call me from my UTI days, which was 10 years ago, that are like, hey, you did a load for me back, you know, way back when, you know, we're working with them. We just want to know what you're up to, because we know you're not there, and see what you're up to. You know, I had a customer call me too. He moved stuff moved stuff into Texas to export to Mexico. He sent me an email to an old email address, which I had forwarded over, and asking me for a quote. I haven't talked to the guy in 3 years. And so I sent him a quote back and sent him the setup packet for the new company. That's what I do. If the customer is not actively shipping and they say, listen, we'll put you on a list or check back next week, by all means, you keep checking with them. But I don't, you start being, to me, you start being a burden, you know. And keep in mind, I was a logistics manager for a shipper. So I had carriers calling me all the time. And granted, this was after I was a broker, and which is how I got the job too, because I already had that negotiating skill down. But I had carriers and brokers calling all the time, and I had them dropping off magnets and donuts and coffee all the time. I didn't give them any work. It's, you know, one, maybe no one just like caught my eye enough that I wanted to, but I really just think I didn't see the benefit in utilizing them over the current sources we already had. Plus I had a background in LTL, so I was able to negotiate great rates on my own. But if I send an email out to a customer, or here, let's go with an active shipper, someone that gives me a load. And so I move the load delivers, it's all fine. Usually about a week after, I check to see if the invoice has been paid. Well, first I check to see if the invoice has been sent. If it hasn't been sent, I check to see, or if it has been sent, I call and I say, hey, listen, I saw that we sent out the invoice. This is not a collection call. I'm just calling to check in, see how the shipment went and all that stuff. And they'll talk about it. And then I always just say, hey, listen, let me know if there's anything. And then maybe once or twice a month, or once or twice, like a quarter, I'll send an email out saying, hey, listen, we moved that load back in the day. Let me know if you have anything else. And go that route. But that's only for active shippers. Like I said, I have a 3-strike rule for new accounts. If they don't answer me after the, you know, second or third email, I don't really bother with them anymore, because they don't need it. They already have my information. It's in their email. So if they search, you know, if they're like, ah, oh, that one guy from, you know, that company was calling, and they search the company name, they're going to see my email. They'll be able to contact me back should they ever get in the delay. I had one customer one time call me at 2:00 in the morning. I sent them maybe 3 or 4 emails a month for, you know, a couple of months, trying to get the business, because I knew they were a huge account and I wanted the business. So I was going against what I said, but they were a big account with multiple locations, a big, big shipper account. They called me at like 8:00 one night and said, listen, are we set up with you? Could you move a load right now? And I said, yeah, you know, because that's one of the things I do in pre-qualifying. I always just get credit and everything set up for them anyway. And they're like, all right, well, we got this load. We need it moved right away, blah, blah, blah. Carrier fell off. It's a super hot load. We need it picked up. So I said, okay. And at this point, I already own my own trucks too. So I was a little bit of a different situation. Tried to find a carrier for it. Couldn't find it. I jumped in a truck myself at 9:30 at night. And it was a short haul going from the JFK to the Philadelphia airport. It was one pallet. And I jumped in the truck myself and made that delivery. And you know what? And not everyone has that ability, but the thing that became my biggest client for a long, long time because of that. And if you were able to handle that account as a broker and say, you know, you don't have access to trucks, so you find a carrier to do it, the customer is willing to pay anything. I charge them a regular standard rate, and I told them, because they're like, all right, how much is it going to run? I'm like, well, I don't know, $400. Because I told them I want the business. You know, but if you got a customer that calls you at 9:00 at night and says, hey, I got a hot load, how am I going to get this load moved? You say, listen, I'll get that load moved, and you do everything in your power. You could post a load, because there was another night where I was testing out stuff and I was running quotes and I accidentally posted a load. And I got calls on it, and it was like 8:30, 9:30, you know, Eastern time at night. Carriers will still call. Even on the weekends, they'll call. If you post a load and you say, hey, pickup is Saturday, and you post that in your comments, if it's a weekend load, they'll do it. Or if you post a load at 9 o'clock at night, you say, you know, truck needed now ASAP or whatever, the carriers are going to, they're still checking that. You know, I did all the time too. When I was a carrier, I'd call, you know, you see loads post at night, so you call them. A lot of them are just renewal posts that just keep posting every 2 hours. Our system does that as well. It'll just keep posting load every 2 hours. But that's very important, is that you just keep focusing on your service and make sure you're servicing them the right way. If that makes sense. You know what I'm saying. And I already answered that question in the other one. I don't follow up that long because I don't care. I already have a good book of business. If I was just starting out, maybe I'd be a little bit more regimented on my pickups and stuff, but I'm not just starting out, so I don't need to. I have a book of business. And even if I don't, I make enough money that I don't really have to panic quite as much. But if you're like, let's take it from a different route. Say you're a carrier and you've been running the spot market shit, the load boards all the time. You're tired of doing it. You want to get customers. You find a customer that you have a conversation with and he's like, sure, send me your information. You want to follow up. If that guy is in a dedicated route that's going to save you from having to use the spot market, I'd send him an email every single week until he tells you not to. And it's a little bit different than being a broker because one, the carrier that benefits you quite a bit more as a carrier. You could show a way different level of cost savings because you know what your cost to run. I can't move a shipment for $1.30 a mile as a broker, a full truckload, because I'm never going to get a carrier. But a carrier could technically pull a load for $1.30 a mile if it's a backhaul because he knows his head haul is paying $3.50 a mile. So his round trip miles are making money. And that's the thing that, you know, when everyone gets into these arguments about cheap freight and people pulling cheap freight and all that stuff, well, you don't know what everyone else is doing in terms of what their break even is and cost and all that stuff. So you can't call just because someone takes a load for $1.50 a mile that's a cheap freight load because that may be a backfall for him and the guy's getting $5 a mile going in. It happens all the time. And that's like a market indicator of when freight's going down or high, you know, and look at the California, you know, east to west and west to east coast loads. The prices are never, I don't know the last time they ever were the same, $4,500 each way. It doesn't work that way. One way it's 6,000, the other one's 3,000. You know, I have 32 feet of space right now that is moving from California to North Carolina. It's like 2,700 miles or something like that. I put it out there for $2,400. I'm like, I'm not getting that load moved. Guess what? Yeah, I did, with $100 markup on the load too. That's just it's based on supply and demand. The guy already had a load on there or a little partial on there, so he was happy. He was making his money, and it all depends. You know what I mean? All right, let's see what this big long thing is. Actually, hold on. What's up, Donnie? Don? Like, I don't want to call you Donnie. I don't know you. Anyway, Jeff said, "What is the best way to start? I've owned a construction company now for about 5 years. I've had my Class A license and drove truck for probably over 20 years. I'm looking to start getting into the freight broker business as I am looking to see what's the best way to start and get paid. And I have to use a company in order to get paid, or do most companies pay in a reasonable time frame?" No. All right. So there's a lot of questions in there. So I'm going to answer the last one first. No, you should probably get a factoring company unless you have your own money. Like if you use, what's the right way to say this? If you qualify your customers correctly, meaning that you do credit on them, you check them, and you know you're going to get paid, but they may run 30, 40 days to get paid, then that's one thing. As long as you have enough money to float it. But I see where a lot of people go wrong is, one, they're not checking their customers enough for direct shippers. We're not talking brokers here. They're not checking direct shippers enough, and they're getting burnt in the long run, or the shipper's not paying until 60, 90 days, which happens quite a bit. And the same thing actually goes with brokers. If you're not doing your due diligence and checking a broker's credit, if they go out of business, you're screwed, you know, and you're not going to recoup that money. And it's the same with factoring. If you're on a recourse factoring program, so you see all those factoring rates where they're 1%, 2%, shit, even 3% sometimes. And they're like, you know, why would you pay 3.5% when you could pay 1.5% over here? That's because it's a recourse factoring rate. So if the customer doesn't pay, they are taking that money from you. And they will do it regardless. There's someone messaged me the other day about a company that was, you know, their factoring company was pulling it back because they had a claim. And, you know, the broker called and said, listen, we're short paying all the future invoices until this claim is paid back. So the factoring company was pulling back the money from the carrier. That's called recourse. And actually, I mean, that's basically if a company goes out of business and the factoring company says, hey, we're going to extend them credit and they don't pay you and they don't pay the factoring company, they're not going to take that money back from you with non-recourse factoring. It's just different. All right, let's see what, if you have your own like surplus of money set up, then you're good. And then you'll be fine. If you don't and you need to use factoring, that's one thing. If you're looking to get into a brokering, I mean, man, there should be nobody that wants to be a freight broker that doesn't have real experience. You got 20 years running a construction company. No offense, I don't know you at all, Jeff, but you shouldn't be looking to become a broker. Be a carrier first. You know what I mean? Be a carrier first. Don't be a broker because you don't know how the industry works. You're not going to know. You get guys that have been a carrier for a month or a year, and then they're like, oh, I want to be a broker. You still don't have it yet because you would have more trucks if that was the case. You would have expanded your trucking side first and then built and then use that money to float the brokerage side, which is the ideal way. Like Nate, if you're paying attention to what I'm saying here, that's what I would do. But yeah, I'm not trying to be a jerk or anything, and you don't have the experience. Like if you don't, the best people to start freight brokerages are either one, natural salespeople that can go out and sell someone an umbrella on a sunny day, or people that already have the accounts. Like, you know, I got into the business, one, I'm a salesperson, but secondly, I got into the business out of necessity because I was booking freight that I couldn't handle on my own trucks when I had my truck. So I ended up booking freight that way and got the bond and signed up as an agent and was moving freight that way. And then I realized, shit, there's a lot of money and it doesn't cost me anything to do it. I don't have any assets. I don't have trucks. I don't have truck payments. I don't have any of that stuff. But for people that just come out and say, oh, you know, a broker, like I said, I make six figures as a broker. When people come out and they're like, that guy makes six figures as a broker, I want to do it. Yeah, that's a great concept, but it's not reasonable. You need to know what you're doing in order to make. I don't make six figures because I'm awesome. I make six figures because I've been doing it for 15 years. When I started, I didn't make six. Yeah, I did, but that's different. I was a trucking company when I started. I don't mean to be a discourager to anyone out there, but I really think that if you guys are looking to, if you're looking to start a company, have a little bit of background. And it's like me saying, I'm going to go start a construction company with no background being, you know, I couldn't do it. It's the same thing as being a broker. You can't go out and be a broker by just taking the simple class. Even if I'm teaching it, you're not going to get enough information to actually learn how to do it. What I'm going to do is provide a foundation. And then you have to build up the rest of your knowledge, your working knowledge in order to get it. And the first thing is watching these videos and commenting and asking questions like that. But, I mean, for me personally, if I could choose what I was doing right now, it'd be to go out and drive a truck because I liked it. I like seeing the country. I liked it. I like the freedom of having my own truck. I like tricking out my truck. I like doing that. I didn't like being away from my family. That was the only problem. And to be honest, when we moved down here and my job fell apart that we moved all halfway across the country for, if I had a different scenario and we didn't move to stupid Florida where there's no freight anyway, I would most likely be driving a truck right now and wouldn't be making these videos because I could just drive a truck interstate. If I lived up in New Jersey again, that's what I'd be doing 100% because it's just free. I can guarantee I could make $1,000 a day with a truck and be super happy about it. And, you know, it depends, you know. So don't always think for everyone that's a carrier now and looking at brokers and saying, brokers got it easy. They just make a percentage. They're not doing shit. It's not, I say sometimes it's going to piss guys off. I say carriers have it easy because you have the freedom of being on the road. You're not stuck behind a desk staring at a computer. You're not stuck sometimes booking freight and arguing with carriers over cheap freight and arguing with shippers because they're not offering enough money, and it goes back and forth. But yeah, that's that. Nate said, yeah, but they don't, because I don't work on a fuel surcharge. It, who knows? Rate may go up. Rates may go down. they may go up. They may go down. I don't really know. I don't care, because my freight doesn't, it's not on a fuel surcharge. And like I said in the beginning of the video, if you weren't here for it, go back and watch after. I don't think there's going to be a 60 cent per gallon increase like everyone else's. I think that's just to make people scared. I think that's what the media does a lot. Look at that stupid hurricane that was supposed to hit us that never did. But everyone here, I drive around, that hurricane was supposed to be 2 weeks ago. People are still so lazy they haven't taken off the shutters in their house, which are a complete fire hazard, by the way. You know, my shutters came off the next day because I wanted sun. But I think the fuel crisis, unless we go and bomb them and all that shit, and who knows, we could do that tonight. We could bomb Iran or whatever. And then, yeah, fuel's going to skyrocket. And then freights will come. The freight rates will come up. As the fuel cost comes up, the cost to operate comes up, freight rates will come up. I know that there's going to be people right now that are already saying, oh, you know, freight's going to go, or the fuel cost is going to go up, so we need to inflate more money. Brokers that are saying this and that are getting more money, most likely, and for future loads. And even if fuel doesn't go up, they're going to make more profit. Carriers are doing the same damn thing. I guarantee it. Carriers are going to be like, yeah, you know, if I quote it, you know, or shorten your quotes. Like I do 7-day quotes for my everything I quote, 7 days. Other people may say, like, you know, I'll do a 5-day quote because who knows what fuel is going to look like next Monday. So because the new surcharge comes out on Monday, or the national average comes out on Monday. All right, we got a lot of things here. And you wrote, psst, LOL. I don't know what that means. Sales, yep. Sales are important, bro. It's the most important part of being a business owner, regardless of what industry you're in, is sales. If you're a truck driver, you need to sell yourself as a truck driver so you can go out and get direct accounts. Unless you're content working off load boards all the time, then you're not really going to make any money. Will you make a lot of money? Yeah, but you're not going to make a lot of money. James Greeter said some brokers don't have anything in it and rape drivers. No, they don't. That's just some misconception. Some brokers don't have anything in it and just don't pay. It's like me. The loads that I have are shit. They don't pay anything. They don't, you know, and I'm not making big money on them. Today I made 10% on one load, and it was $1,000 load that I moved for $900. Could I have paid the carrier $950? Yeah, but why? He was happy with $9. I said, hey, I'm paying $9. He said, okay, I'll take it. And I said, all right, great. And I went to my customer and I said, $1,000. He goes, oh, I mean, that's the industry. Carriers aren't, or brokers aren't, I don't dictate what anyone that hauls my freight makes. I don't. I am a broker. I am not forcing anyone at gunpoint to say, hey, you're hauling my load. If you don't like it, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to ruin your company. That's not it's not the way it works. And that's a misconception about the industry, that all brokers are out there stealing too much money. The carriers are the ones who dictate the rate. So if you have the big fleets that are charging $1.89 a mile for a run, why the hell am I going to go out and pay someone else $2.25? Because that's what he says his costs to operate are. I'm going to pay the guy that's $1.85 a mile because that's the best rate. Doesn't make any sense. I've always just gotten clearly a little annoyed by the whole broker bashing bullshit back and forth, because brokers are greedy and they steal money and they rape drivers and all that stuff. No, they don't. Brokers make money just like carriers, because you may charge $2 a mile, James, to run your truck, and then Ben may run and charge $1.50 a mile to run his truck, or $3 a mile. So does that mean if you're charging less than him, does that mean that you are you're raping him? Come on, man. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, with that tangent gone, all right, hold on. Let's see. Ben said, what kind of truck did I drive as owner-operator? I started off in one of those little, like, 12-foot Ford E350 box trucks. I moved up and got an International 4300 straight truck. And then when I wasn't driving them, but I had semis. I had a couple of L8500 Sterling single-axle day cabs and 48 and 53 and a couple of pup trailers. And then I got into the hotshot thing for a little bit and got out before it was too late. But I had a couple of Dodge Ram 3500 dualies and 40 foot, and at a 26 foot, 40 foot, and a 35 foot air ride. They're good. Just hot shots don't make money. I know if what's his face is going to watch that, he's going to get mad. But yeah, I didn't drive. I drove trucks. You know, I've driven a semi only a couple of times, and they were mine. I owned them. I just didn't have a CDL. But you know, I had a driver that didn't show up, and I had to go make a pickup. So, and I didn't have another driver, so I jumped in the truck like an idiot and drove there and picked it up. Luckily, I'm used to driving around in my lot and all that stuff, so I was able. And it was right down the street. So I went and loaded up and came back to the warehouse. But I'm the same kind of guy that thinks he can drive everything. And I jumped in. I couldn't even get the thing in the gear to back up. And I had to call a driver in at 2 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, but yeah, that's what I drove. I started off in a little truck and I got up to International was the biggest one that I was legally. Well, I guess no, the Hot Shot with a 40 foot trailer. We just had the trailer derated. So that was the biggest one, but. I mean, I had semis and all that stuff. I had a couple of, I had a Freightliner Century that was garbage, and a couple of International Pro Stars that were also garbage. But it's what you get. The best trucks I ever had were those Sterling L8500s. Those were the best trucks. They were old Conway trucks. I bought them for $8,000 each. One of them was perfect, didn't have to do anything. The other one I had to put a reman turbo in for $900. And those trucks were, they were powerful workhorses that were awesome. And they were small and so really maneuverable and all that. The single axle ones. All right. But James, their freight is in Florida. It's called Kilos and Cubans are moving it. Yeah. Jeff said, to make a long story short, I've drove now for probably 15 years. My company that I worked for went out of business. So I started my construction company and have that now for between 5 to 7 years. If you were to direct somebody, would you tell them to go into hotshot trucking or brokering? Only reason I ask why I'm choosing hotshot or brokering is the overhead to start. There's no, because if you're hotshotting, see, this is the thing that also drives me nuts, guys. I'm going to say it. If you are going to, unless you already have the hotshot truck, so a dually, and you already have a trailer, the costs are not substantially cheaper than going out and buying a used tractor and a flatbed or step if you really want to make money. I don't know. I think people that like all these guys that are coming out buying $80,000 pickup trucks and $25,000 air ride 40 foot trailers, it's stupid. Go spend half of that on a used truck and a used step deck trailer and you'll make more money. I guarantee. I don't care what any of the hotshotters out there that are saying that, oh, I make full truckload money. You're not. You may make close to it, but you're not making, you know, full truckload money. Or maybe you are, but you're working your ass off a lot harder than these guys. You know, when I dispatch trucks, I could dispatch a hot shot and have him average $1,000 a day. I could also dispatch a semi and have him averaging $1,000 a day. The difference is the semi was running in a 300 mile radius and the hot shot was taking 3,000 miles a week. There's a difference there. You know, it's just more money in a semi. Brokering is, there's no overhead to brokering. I mean, really, if you're setting up your own brokerage authority, this is what it's going to cost you. $300 for your authority. Let's just say $2,500 for your bond, but anywhere from 18 to $6,000 for your bond, depending on how your credit is. You buy a TMS system or use the one TMS system for free, and then maybe keep like $10,000 for if you got to make quick payments or set up like that. That's it. That's a brokerage. There's no overhead. You're going to, the only problems that you have is when you start a trucking company from day one, as your authority goes active, you will be making money. Well, money will be coming in. You may not make any money, but money will be coming in from day one. As soon as your authority goes active brokerage, you're not going to see money for quite a while. Cause you got to do sales. You got to bring in the loads. You got to get the carrier to move the load. You got to invoice the carrier. You got to pay or invoice the customer and pay the carrier, all that stuff. So it takes 45 days for you to see your little chunk of profit where a carrier, you know, the day you have an authority, you could find a load to pick up and drop that same day. I guarantee you can, and you're going to make profit on that load. But like I said, if I had it my way, I'd be driving a truck right now. I like it a lot better. But all right, what's this one? Isaac said, "Hello, I own 6 26 foot box trucks, band. Oh, and 1 40 foot gooseneck trailer. What's a good headboard? I'm located in." Arizona. I don't know. Headboard for what? For your trailer? I don't know. Load board, I guess you're trying to say. Probably that because of the box trucks. I mean, you should have both. If you're running any trucks, I know it's an expense, but figure it as such. That load board, you know, which you can get by here because you're a carrier. If you've never gotten the DAT load board, I got something for you here. It's a little gift from me to you. Click that link. It's truckersedge.com/408339. That'll give you a free 30 days to the DAT load board. And that's anything. That's regular Trucker's Edge. That's the DAT power load board. So it's a little bit more expensive version that shows rates and stuff like that. That's my gift to you right there. truckersedge.com/408339. And that free 30 days, you can only get that from an affiliate, which I am. There's other affiliates all over social media, so you can get them from them too. But that one, they give me like $5 after you are a customer for 3 years or 3 months. So I make something eventually. And then you sponsor these. But yeah, all right, let's see what these other questions are. But yeah, use a DAT load board. Also for your gooseneck, use Truckstop. Truckstop. And I use both load boards all the time. When I dispatch, I use those load boards plus every single other like free load board I could find, because why not? I'm not going to limit myself. Same thing. You should never limit yourself. But yeah. All right. Vincent said, was in reply to a previous question. I assume agents are 1099 and workers' comp is covered because agents give brokers a workers' comp waiver. Is that correct? Yes. Yes. All agents are 1099. Most good companies are going to require you to be a corporation to be an agent, an LLC or something, just to limit that liability. This company that I'm with now is way, they have really high requirements to become an agent. So, but they're super lax. I run my entire company. You know, I don't get very much involvement. I've had issues with carriers and, they're like, I'm calling corporate, never even calls me. You know, that's a good thing. You'll have other companies that micromanage the crap out of you. But yes, agents are 1099 and a workers' comp waiver is needed. And you'll sign it. It's in your agent contract for almost every single company out there. Jeff said, thank you, brother. You are a great big help. I like the fact that you're straightforward and I like that. So thank you. Hey, well, if you like that, follow this link below. As I always say, I mean, I make these videos and I make the content for free. I make my website for free. I do the free freight broker course for free. But I rely on, you know, supporter payments and advertising and all that crap. So you could sign up for the Patreon, support me monthly, or you could do a one-time Cash App thing. If you go to my website and click on become a supporter. So if you go to If you go over to this website, freightbrokerlive.com, and click become a supporter, you can contribute. It's super, I like it. It helps me because then I don't have to worry about, you know, paying all this stuff. Because believe it or not, it actually costs a pretty penny to take an entire weekend off and redesign a website. Because it cost me time. You know, I didn't get to spend time with my family and all that stuff because I was busy doing that. But I wanted it to be better. These videos and all that stuff. Granted, I like doing them, but hopefully I can make it so it's a full-time thing. But you can go to freightbrokerlive.com. On the upper hand, it's somewhere up in that, like, whoop, that side up there on, if you're looking at the website. And you can sign up there if you want. Some people already did, and some people don't anymore. Nate said, me too. Hashtag, oh. Isaac said, hello, I own an app. Oh, wait, I already did that. And Ben said, nope. No, I've never had a CDL. I owned a bunch of trucks. I had 6 semis at one point. 3 were over the road and 4 were local. But yeah, and then the hotshot stuff and jumping over the road. But yeah, I mean, I've driven everything. The reason, like I said, I mean, I was a stupid kid. I was one of those guys that had 3 logs in my truck and half the time I didn't even stop. It was not exactly what you should do, but it got me the experience. Andre said, well, yeah, the 22nd. Look on the 22nd, you should get an email. Louisa said, what is the capital needed to get started the most economical way possible? In terms of what? Being a broker? Well, I outlined that a minute ago. This could be an old comment. Roughly 10 grand. And that's going to give you a very, very economical start. That's going to, and you will find it to be a limiter. I take that back. I've heard of people setting up brokerages and being fully successful for $3,000, including the bond. It all just depends. You know, it depends on what kind of resources you have and what kind of ability you have. That's the deal. I mean, you should have money. Nobody should be going out there thinking that they're going to become a broker unless they have money. Because it's not even that you need money to support the business. You need money to support yourself while you're waiting for the business to be able to support you, which could take anywhere from a month to a year, depending on what your drive is and how much business you generate. And that's the truth. So you need to have money. A lot of people are out there being like, oh, I got 10 grand. Will that do it? And, you know, I'm like, oh, does your spouse work? No, they don't. Well, no, it's not going to do it. You need to be able really to be able to afford your cost of living for 6 months or so, and have that money saved up. So that way you can sit and give your full undivided attention to moving freight. Moving freight does not have my full undivided attention. And that's me being a broker and me making a lot of money, but I also spend money on everything. I went, see how my green screen behind me is like perfect now? Because I went and bought a stupid green screen for a video where I don't really make any money off of them yet. You know what I mean? I have two cars. I've got a Harley that I can't even ride all summer because it rains and I don't have time. You know, I've got a ride on lawnmower for my little ass lawn. But that's because it's 105 degrees here and I'm not pushing a lawnmower, but I spend money frivolously too. I don't live paycheck to paycheck, but I'm essentially month to month. We have savings and retirement and all that we're not touching. But if I became disabled right now, I have enough cash to float 6 months. No, you know? And that's why I work so hard and I have that drive. If you are looking but I also know money will come in every single week because I know I've been doing it long enough. If you're just starting a brokerage, you don't have that luxury. You don't have that luxury. But, all right, let's see here. Isaac says, thank you for your help. No problem, buddy. Make sure you like my page. If you're watching this on YouTube later, subscribe. If you haven't already subscribed to the YouTube, please do. I'm trying to monetize that page as well. If you're not following my page, do that as well. YouTube is youtube.com/freightbrokerlive. But all that stuff really, really helps me, guys. And if you like my videos and you want to have me keep doing it, consider becoming a supporter. If you don't want to do that, just make sure you like and comment. If you see my videos out there, share them out a bunch. That helps a lot to get these videos out there. And I appreciate it a lot. Nate said, what's a useful place to advertise for a company driver? Is there a better place for advertising an owner and operator position? You can do it on Indeed, but your best place probably right now is on social media. You could advertise on Indeed for free without any issues and try to find a local driver. That may be the best, but then you're going to have a driver that wants to get home all the time. If you want a good over-the-road driver, one, pay them well, and secondly, advertise it on Craigslist and some of those, or not Craigslist, there's owner-operator groups. Type in owner-operator in the search thing of Facebook and you're going to find a bunch of them. And you can find a good driver. I've found plenty through there. Just make sure you qualify them the right way. Like, Nate, maybe we should have a talk after. Because if you want to grow the trucking company before you do the bond, I think there's that's the direction I would do if I were you, before you do any of the other stuff we talked about. But Dalton said, no, 10K will not get you without a factoring. Oh, that's three. Yeah, no, 10K will not float. 10K will not flow anything besides your overhead. You would still need to factor. 10K is like two loads on full truckload loads. It's not unless because you're not going to find carriers to do it. And then you're not going to find new carriers that are going to pull your loads being a new broker. And secondly, and here's the most important part too, your customers aren't going to pay you. So if you don't have the revenue to pay out your customer or to pay out your carrier, until your customer pays, you can't pay and you're not making profit. If you have $15,000 worth of invoices and you know you've got $16,000 coming in, you have to make sure to pay your carriers on time. Because if you don't, then your credit rating goes to shit and then you really can't get them. In order to float your receivables I should have clarified that. My number of 10,000 bucks is to float you or whatever that number is to float you. You need like 100 grand to float all your receivables, especially if you're going to go out and get big customers. You know, so when I say the 10 grand that, you know, have and start, and that's to handle quick pays and stuff like that, that the factoring won't touch, depending on what factoring company you work with. OTR can do fuel advances to your drivers. You want to sign up for OTR, go to the partners tab on my website and you can fill out the application for OTR. But yeah, you need a lot more. If you're going to float your own receivables and your payables, then yeah, you need six figures. I would say a conservative number is 100 grand. Because then I just wouldn't do it. I don't care if I had, you know, $1 million sitting here right now. I wouldn't factor my own invoices. I would factor them with a factoring company or a bank or have some sort of system set up so I'm not using my own capital to do it. That's just my belief. And I've already done it. And I've been successful in brokerage and I've had them fail too. So, but hopefully that answers your question there. Loessa said, I'm not sure I've always been a company driver. I don't know. I mean, I don't mean to discourage. I know this is a freight broker live and I'm a freight broker and I talk about being a broker and I talk about all that stuff, but I don't want to discourage anyone from becoming a broker. But at the same time, I do, if that makes sense, because the last thing I need as another broker is another broker coming in that doesn't have the industry, books loads, starts screwing up the relationship between brokers and shippers, because that happens a lot. When you guys are calling shippers and you're going to say, oh, we don't use brokers. The reason they don't use brokers is not because we charge a profit or a margin on top of the line haul. It's because they had some know-it-all broker that came in, made them a bunch of promises and then failed horribly. And so you have to keep that in mind when you're dealing with a customer and when you're looking to get into business, because that is one thing you're going to encounter a lot where they say, we don't use brokers. And the reason is because it's someone just like you, because it was a broker that came, promised the world and didn't deliver. The typical net days for a customer. No. And that's just eating your profit anyway. Nate asked for the blog guys. Nate said, what's a typical day to pay for a customer? Does offering a 97 net 7 really motivate a customer? Not really. Not that I've seen. Typical days to pay for a customer. I've got some that will pay on receipt of invoices. I've got others that'll take 60 days or so. My biggest customer takes regularly 45 to 65 days. And I'm doing 100 grand a month with that guy. So no, I couldn't cover that at all. 100 grand a month and carrier payables outside? No, I couldn't do it, you know? And that's a customer that requires me to book 5 or 6 or 7 loads a day. It's not even that many loads. So it's a large volume of loads, you know, as you look at the whole picture. But the load, you know, they're small. Imagine if those were all full truckloads, that instead of paying 5, 6, 7, 800 bucks, they're paying, you know, 2,000, 5,000. That number could quickly go up to 500,000. I'd be screwed. But I wouldn't be, because I'm working with someone, so I don't have to worry about the receivables. But what else we got? Any other questions? Anybody? Bueller? See. But yeah, that's a gist. This was a good video. I'm tired of talking. I got to track all my loads here. So I'm going to start adding content. Like I said before, I'm going to start adding content regularly on YouTube. So make sure you follow my YouTube. Yeah, Dalton said people need to be discouraged when they're doing so on false pretenses. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme. A lot of people do not understand that being a broker truly consists of. It's hard work. Being a broker is hard work. You're not going to just make a shit ton of money I take that back. People do. People make a lot of money. Like I said, you get lucky. I make a lot of money compared to some of the other brokers out there. You know what I mean? And I don't even work hard. I work hard 50% of the time. Imagine if I worked 100%, balls to the wall all the time, I'd be rich, you know, but I just don't. It's not the way I like to do business. I like to relax a little bit. But it is. It's, you have to, hold on. I just got a bunch of emails all at once. Shit. Yeah, when I don't want to be discouraging to people that are already out there and say, listen, I want to become a broker, but you're not going to make money for a long time. You know, no, and you shouldn't. You should be able to float yourself for 6 months, even if your company is generating a profit, because you never know when one customer doesn't pay you. And you need to have that profit to pay the carrier, because you can't just not pay the carrier because the customer doesn't pay you. It doesn't work that way. The actual art, and it's going to piss all the brokers off that are active brokers, the actual art of brokering freight is not complex. It could be taught to someone in a month. You know, a full-time job of someone learning from watching someone over the course of a month, they would know how to broker the same way I do. They would know the sales aspect. They would know the carrier sales aspect. They would know the customer side. They would know how to book freight. They would know all the paperwork. They would know the software. It's not a hard job, just like anything else. It's not super technical. The only thing is putting all the pieces together and then being able to continue doing it is what makes it hard. Being able to float invoices and do all that stuff, that's the challenges. You know, it's not just being a broker and getting an account. It's how you manage that account after you're a broker that a lot of people just can't get. That's why so many brokerages close every year. You know, you get people that are great at customer service, great salespeople. They go out and they get the customer. They're great at carrier sales and they're super good with that. Customer pays them super fast. And they're like, hey, listen, I don't have to pay the carrier for 20 days. I'm going to go buy a new car. Guess what? You're not going to be able to recoup your money. So you really have to be very good and very honest with yourself. And when you're looking to be a freight agent or when you're looking to open a brokerage, shit, just like any other company, you need to be honest with yourself. If you don't have the skills required to actually focus and be good with money and do all that stuff, if you're sitting there, if your credit's 500 and you owe $20,000 right now and you don't see an end in the tunnel, you're being a freight broker on your own is not the business for you. You know what I mean? Or just the same thing with the carriers that are out there that don't have a pot to piss in, but are out there, you know, financing trucks and with $1,900 or $1,200 a month payments. You guys shouldn't be doing it. I mean, that's as simple as, you know, that's my opinion. And I learned that the hard way. I was one of those stupid guys that just went out and did everything on credit and did all that shit first. And it bit me in the ass and I lost everything. So, what's he say here? Hard part of brokering is landing quality customers and continuing satisfying the needs of the customer. That is correct. Getting a good customer that's going to stick with you for years is a hard part. My customer didn't stick with me. I stuck with them, meaning that there were plenty of times where, like the old VP, I stopped working with them for a year because the old VP, I told him to F off on the phone because he told me I needed to take a $300 hit on the load because they screwed up. And he's like, oh, we do it all the time for you if, you know, carrier screws up or something like that. And I said, I can't do it, bro. And he starts ridiculing me on the phone, and I lost my crap with him and swore at him. And then the only reason I got back that customer is because they were acquired and that guy no longer works there. And I look him up on Facebook to see where, or on YouTube, LinkedIn all the time to see what company he's going to destroy now. But he's not working, apparently. But, yeah. Agreed. Good. Jeff said, am I still doing your free class? No, the class is full. So I'll probably do another one next year at some point, like after the new year. I'll release it. And you won't have much notice. It'll be, you know, just like last time. I'll make a video up and I'll say, hey, listen, I'm putting the application up at midnight. And then if it goes the same way that it did this year, I will, I'll have the class fill in about 20 hours, and then people send me 100 emails saying, oh, I missed it. Can I get in? Which is fine. I don't mind. But yeah, if you guys want to contribute, so I can keep bettering these videos and keep making more content, I got a question just because I'm curious. There's only 21 people, maybe on the replays and shit later. How many of you would come up and begin those boot talks and all this shit? Many of you guys would come to if I said, hey, in 6 months I'm going to be in Atlanta, and it was paid for by advertising and stuff like that, and like a convention. Like if I ran a convention and you just had a bunch of like-mind smart guys like me sitting around and just talking the industry, and you know, a big imagine a Q&A in like an auditorium type thing, how many people would actually come to that? If you would come to that, comment and say, yeah, I would come, or something like that, or someone make a poll, or I don't know. I don't really care. But because that would be something that I'm looking into, because I think I can market it and I think I could get enough advertising. this weekend I worked on the website, like I said, and I also sent out a lot of advertising emails. And like I said, I'm a salesperson, so I have an advantage over some. I've got meetings set up this entire week about different advertising and stuff for the Freight Broker Live. So, you know, if anyone wants to advertise and to sponsor this whole thing, I'll just quit right now and I'll just do this full time. But all right, so I definitely see there would be if I serve coffee, someone else should bring the coffee. But no, that's what it would be, like a round table. Imagine like a freight what the hell was the one, the Freight Waves convention that they had, Transparency or whatever it was. It would be like that, except fun and exciting, and people would actually learn something. I hope they're not watching this, because that was a dig on them pretty good. But yeah, that's what I would, I'm thinking about it, because, you know, a room costs maybe $1,000 to host for a day. And if I did just a one day conversation where people just sat around and just talked about the industry, I think it'd be interesting. Plus, it would get me out of the house and travel and stuff like that. Yeah, infrequent. All right, so a lot of people said they would come. That's cool. All right, guys, it's been an hour and 20 minutes and 25 seconds. I'm going to sign off on this. I'm going to play my little video as my sign-off thing, and then I'm going to go. If you like it, please, guys, like my Facebook, like the YouTube. If you like these videos also, there's something called reviews. I didn't even realize it's on Facebook, where you can review me and just talk about how awesome I am and knowledgeable and all that stuff. Go ahead and write that there. You know, if you don't like me, please don't write that. But because it betters it. Like it, share out my videos, do all that stuff, share my page. You know, if you guys see anyone that's looking to learn stuff about it, just tag my name in it, your favorite freight broker, all that good stuff. All right, see you later. Bye.